To direct your attention to God's Word, we're in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17. Our focus on verses 11 through 19. That's what I'll read for this evening. Luke 17, reading verses 11 through 19. Hear God's holy Word. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for God's blessing on his word. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We know that it is powerful and effective. We know, Lord, that you continue to speak to us through it. And so, Lord, we ask, give us each listening ears and bless he who proclaims it, that we would hear what you are saying to us. We do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we saw the apostles in view of the difficult task before them of forgiving others. We saw them pray for faith, increase our faith. To forgive others takes faith. When we by faith understand the depth and wickedness of our sin, and more so the greatness of God's grace that has covered our sin, then we ought to be willing to forgive the sins of those who sin against us when they come and say that they repent. And even if they sin against us repeatedly and come and repent, we're to forgive them again and again and again. And we do this because this is how our Heavenly Father treats us. When we confess our sins, he doesn't say, "You've exhausted it. Sorry, no more for you." No, if we confess our sins, we're promised in his word that he is faithful to forgive us. And the more we understand that, and the more we understand the greatness of our sin and grace in the midst of our sin, the greater or the easier it becomes to forgive others when they sin against us, even when it's repeated. Jesus even said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, a tiny seed, you can do this. You can say to your deep-rooted, ill-tempered mulberry tree or lack of forgiveness, "Be uprooted and cast into the sea," and it will happen. And you can do that not because your faith itself accomplishes great things, but who your faith is in is a great God. Your God accomplishes great things. Now, this isn't a cause for us to take pride in ourselves or to pat ourselves on the back if we're forgiving of others. When we forgive others, we're not doing anything special or extraordinary. We're merely servants doing the duty that our God has called us to do. And so we ought never to think that you can get to a stage in your life where you earn or you merit anything from God as if you deserve his praise. By faith, we simply ought to do our duty because it is our duty. And today we'll see that one of the fruits of faith is thankfulness. Now, we are saved. You know the reformational saying, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, so that to God be the glory alone. But faith is never alone in a believer. A believer must be a thankful person, thankful for his salvation. We do not receive our salvation by faith, but flowing out of our faith ought to be things like thankfulness and the willingness to forgive others, as we saw this morning. If we're thankful for our own salvation, we will forgive others when they sin against us. Today we'll focus specifically on that idea of being thankful. Now, remember as well, the psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We ought to be thankful. And it ought to show more than just in going through the motion of prayers at mealtimes or at other times. It ought to show in how we live our lives. A thankless Christian is a contradiction in terms. An unbeliever is often characterized by thanklessness. In Romans 1:20-21, it says this, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." But a Christian, on the other hand, ought to be characterized by thankfulness. A thankfulness where we're desirous of coming together in worship to give God thanks and praise. A thankfulness that shows in how we go about our life day by day. Today we'll look at the thankful leper. And we'll see that thankfulness is indeed a fruit that flows out of faith. It's not that we're saved by thankfulness, but those who are saved, those who truly have faith, have thankfulness flowing out of their faith. So first of all, two things. We'll look at the 10 lepers healed, and then we'll look at the one leper who is thankful. Let's begin then by looking at the 10 lepers that are cleansed. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Jesus is going to Jerusalem, remember, and we all know why he's going to Jerusalem. Way back, chapter 9, wasn't it? He set his face toward Jerusalem. He was going to die for the sins of his people. And as he's on his way to Jerusalem, he's passing between Samaria and Galilee. That is, he's going along the border between those two regions, those two places. And while there on the outskirts of an unnamed village, Jesus encountered 10 lepers, or lepers. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. These men are standing off at a distance. They're not approaching Christ. They're at a distance. Now we see from verses 16 and 18 that these lepers were of mixed nationalities. At least one of them is a Samaritan, the one who's going to come back and give thanks to Jesus. And because he's referred as a foreigner amongst others in verse 18, we know that others must be Jews as well. And so you have a mixed group of lepers, both from the Jews and the Samaritans. Now you probably know that the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along well at all. The Samaritans, in essence, were considered by the Jews some Jewish half-breeds. But I suppose along the border of Samaria and Galilee, that was not too strange to see them together, especially when you consider if you had leprosy, you had to leave your village. You had to go into seclusion. Who else are you going to find any kind of friendship, any kind of fellowship with, except for some other lepers? Better to be perhaps an outcast with others, even if not of your nationality, then be totally on your own. Now, what is leprosy? And we talked about leprosy. You may remember it's been a while back in chapter 5 when Jesus even touched and healed a leprous man. Now, I said back then that there are some that believe that the word in Scripture can refer to many types of skin diseases, including things like ringworm, or psoriasis, lupus, and that may be true. But it seems to me that first and foremost, it is talking about that disease, leprosy itself. Christian Dr. L.S. Huizinga, based on his study of the pertinent biblical text and his own experience with lepers, states this, "I believe that Moses describes a definite disease, a disease which corresponds to what we today call leprosy, although the symptoms may not be the same." Now, most of us have probably not seen a person with leprosy, at least not face to face, but it is a horrible disease. Now, you may have seen some pictures. In fact, you can take a look, depending on your age. If you're older, take a look in an encyclopedia. If you're younger, take a look on the internet. Or even if you're older, take a look on the internet. And you can see some pretty gruesome pictures. I read that in advanced stages, leprosy makes the flesh numb so that you can't feel anything. A problem in third world countries, as I mentioned back in chapter 5, is that lepers, when they would sleep at night, sometimes would have mice nibble at their fingers and toes, and they wouldn't even feel it and wouldn't even know it. Doctors would sometimes in those countries send a cat home to help with that problem. But here's what commentator William Hendrickson says. He says, this disease, or the disease which we today call leprosy, generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Soon the skin is, in such spots, loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. In fact, the affliction is called leprosy because it makes the skin scaly. The Greek word lepos or lepis means scaly. As the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and ears, begins to bunch with deep furrows between the swellings so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. Fingers drop off or are absorbed. Toes are affected similarly. Eyebrows and eyelashes drop out. By the touch of the finger, one can also feel it. One can smell it, for the leper emits a very unpleasant odor. Moreover, in view of the fact that the disease-producing agent frequently attacks the larynx, the leper's voice acquires a grating quality. Dr. Huizinga says, his throat becomes hoarse, and you can now not only feel, see, and smell the leper, but you can hear his rasping voice. And if you sit with him for some time, you even imagine a peculiar taste in your mouth, probably due to the odor. All the senses of the well are engaged in the detection of the leper. A leper, you see, had a very, very difficult life. But you also have to remember what the law said about those who had leprosy. Those who had leprosy had to be put out of the camp. They were not allowed to associate with others. Numbers 5, verses 2 to 4 says this, command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp everyone who is leprous or has a discharge, and everyone who is unclean through contact with the dead. You shall put out both, male and female, putting them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camp in the midst of which I dwell. And the people of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp, as the Lord said to Moses. So the people of Israel did. And there's more in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. It says this, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip, and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. As long as that infection remained on a person, he had to live outside the camp, away from others. Can you imagine the difficulty, the humiliation of a leper's life living outside the camp? And whenever you come in contact with people, whenever you see them at a distance even, what are you to do? You're to cover your mouth and yell out, unclean, unclean, so that they're warned and they know. What a horrible disease. And what humiliation on top of it. Is it any wonder that these men, when they see the Lord, they cry out for mercy? Verse 13, they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They don't approach Jesus. They're at a distance. But they ask for mercy. Maybe they heard that Jesus had healed that leper back in chapter 5. Or perhaps they had just heard of other miracles. But they must have heard something about Jesus. And so they call out at a distance for mercy. And what does Jesus do? Now, last time, back in chapter 5, he touched the leper. But this time he doesn't do quite that. Instead, we read verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Now, this command was to do with a cure, if you will, for leprosy. According to Leviticus 14, which we read part of, a leper who was healed was to present himself to the priest. And so these lepers are told, go and present yourself to the priest. Presumably, what's going to happen? And in fact, it happened. They go along the way and they are what? Healed. So Jesus doesn't touch and heal on the spot, but he says, go. Go as if you're healed. Go and see the priest. Let him pronounce you clean. Jesus is basically telling them, you will be healed. And so the lepers set off. And we read in the second half of verse 14, and as they went, they were cleansed. A miracle was performed. Their outward uncleanness, their leprosy was gone. No doubt they were all excited. And as you think about the disease, and you perhaps still have that picture in your mind of what they could look at, it was instantaneous. They were healed. The priest was going to be able to see them and was going to be able to pronounce them clean in that sense. In doing this, Jesus showed them that he indeed was God. He spoke, he told them to go, and indeed they were all 10 of them, healed. When the healing occurred, one of the lepers was seized with an irresistible emotion of gratitude. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. While there were 10 on the way to the priests, all were healed. And one of the 10, and only one, turned around and went back to Jesus to give thanks. Based on the wording, it doesn't seem like they got very far before this happened. I don't assume that they reached the priest yet. Maybe they had, but this one man is so overwhelmed with thanksgiving that he wanted to first go and thank Christ. Nothing prevented him from seeing the priest just a little bit later. This man knew as well that he had two to thank. First, he glorified God. And he did it with a loud voice. You can picture him so excited, screaming with joy as he goes along. Earlier, he cried out with a loud voice for mercy. And now, with a loud voice, he's glorifying God. He's thankful. He's giving the credit to God for his healing. He acknowledges that this healing came from God. And so he returns glory to him and proclaims the glory of the Lord. But that's not all. He also threw himself at the feet of Jesus and gave praise to him. Now, I don't know at this point if he recognized Jesus as God or the promised Messiah, but at least he saw Jesus as the agent of the Lord. He knew that it was through Jesus that this miracle came about, and so he falls down face first and gives thanks. And with emphasis, Luke adds that this leper returned or that this leper who had returned to give thanks was a Samaritan. Again, we all know that the Jews and the Samaritans were at odds. The very last person you would expect to go back to give thanks to a Jewish healer would be a Samaritan, but that's exactly what this man does. And it goes to show you something as well, that the church is made up not just of one nation, but the church is universal. The church is made up of believers from all tribes and tongues. God is bringing in his elect from all places in the world. And what does Jesus say to the return of this one healed leper? Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Think of it, only one of 10. And that one, not a Jew, but a Samaritan. The Jews had been a nation blessed by God above every other nation. Psalm 147 says this, verse 20. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know His rules. Praise the Lord. But here it is, a Samaritan that surpasses the Jews in praising and thanking God. He's excited about being saved from this disease, and he goes back to give thanks. And if you think about it, there must have been some discussion when this man turned back to give thanks. I mean, he's giving thanks in a loud voice. He didn't sneak off, if you will. He's being loud about it. And they must have said something like, "Hey, where are you going? The priest is over this way. What are you doing?" And he must have told them and invited them to come along. But no one else came. Perhaps they were too caught up with being officially proclaimed clean. They wouldn't be officially clean until they appeared before the priest. They wouldn't be able to go back to their families until they went to the priest. Maybe they were caught up with all of that. These men were no doubt overjoyed that their leprosy was gone, completely gone. They were happy, to say the very least. But whatever it was, there were other things that were more important to these nine lepers than returning thanks and glory and praise to God and Christ. God was not at the center of their excitement and their joy. Excitement and joy is good. They're excited. They have joy. But it's misplaced. It's caught up not in the giver, but in the gift. Christ, of course, is disappointed that the nine didn't come back to give praise to God. In fact, he asked verse 18, "Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Notice he doesn't even say, "and thank me," but to give praise to God. He's concerned that his Father did not receive the praise and honor and glory that is due His name. Christ came to earth to point us to the Father, to give glory to the Father. The Most High, indeed, was kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Talks about that in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. And Matthew tells us, Matthew 5, 45, that He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. There's a common kindness of God, if you will, but we don't see a common common gratitude among men. Jesus then says something amazing to the leper that has returned, verse 19. And He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, what does Jesus mean? "Your faith has made you well." In this context, what is he talking about? 10 lepers, right, were made well. What made the other 9 well if this person's faith made him well? Did they have faith? No, that's what we've already seen. So what does Jesus mean when he's saying to this one, "Your faith has made you well"? What's the point here? Well, that phrase in the Greek, "made you well," could also be translated "saved you." And so we could translate it this way. Jesus said this, "Your faith has saved you." And that, I believe, is the point here. This man's faith was not the instrument through which he received his physical healing. As I said, all 10 lepers were physically healed, and only this one displayed faith and thankfulness. This man's faith, however, was the instrument through which he received spiritual healing, salvation. 9 were made well externally. 1 was saved through his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1, besides receiving the outward gift of healing, receive the forgiveness of sins. Your faith has saved you. This man's faith was seen in his thankfulness. This man was saved from his sin through faith in Jesus Christ. All 10 lepers received a great gift from the Lord. Christ made them all well. But this one man, this Samaritan, received a far greater gift in addition to that physical healing, saved from his sin. And there is salvation for all those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is salvation for all those who bow before him and trust in him. Now, back in chapter 5, you may remember that I said leprosy was in essence a metaphor, a picture, a parable about sin. Leprosy is an outward picture of an innermost spiritual corruption apart from Christ. Now, I'm not saying that lepers were worse sinners than anybody else, but leprosy, which affected some outwardly, was a picture of the spiritual corruption and decay and rot of all those apart from Christ. Apart from the saving and cleansing work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all lepers on the inside, even if we don't have the disease on the outside. Sin has affected our entire being. The leprosy of sin has invaded all our faculties and parts, and the stench is horrible in the sight of God. This is the state in which we are born and in which we naturally live. This one leper was saved from both his literal leprosy and his spiritual leprosy. And there's a lesson for us here. All of us apart from Christ are lepers. And it's through faith in him alone that we can be saved from our sin. This healing, this salvation will be responded to with thanksgiving. Don't get me wrong, no one is saved by virtue of having a thankful spirit. By no means. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. However, faith, as I said in the beginning, is never alone in the life of a believer. Out of faith flows all kinds of things. Where there's true faith, there will be thankful hearts. And even, as we saw this morning, if we have a little mustard seed of faith, just a little mustard seed of faith, in the one true God, and thus understand the greatness of our sin, and that it was forgiven because Christ died on the cross, then that faithfulness and that thankfulness is going to show to some degree. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Our sin is of a greater stench than leprosy. Our skin is more disgusting, or our sin is more disgusting than leprosy. But their salvation in Christ. Paul also says, Colossians 1, 12 to 14, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Brothers and sisters, think about the greatness of your sin. But if you've confessed your sin, and if you're resting on Jesus Christ as he's offered in the gospel, then you have been made well. You have been forgiven. How can we who've been made forgiven, or who have been forgiven, not be a thankful people? A woman once told Charles Spurgeon that if God forgave her sin, that God would never hear the end of it. May it be that way with us. May God not hear the end of it. May we praise him continually and constantly for the grace we have in Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you again for the grace we do have in your Son. We thank you, Father, for your Son who came and healed 10 lepers. And not only healed the 10, but saved the one. We thank you, Father, that there's salvation in him. May it be that each one here, our children as well, would rest in you as your Son is offered in the gospel. We thank you, Father. We praise you. Make us more and more thankful for the grace we have. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.